And so, Father, as we continue here as a fellowship to study your word this morning, as we continue to worship you, as we go through this section in Philippians, Lord, would you truly speak through me this morning? Would you speak to every heart that is in this room? Would your Holy Spirit speak through your word? Give us ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, so last week, we finished chapter 3 and started a little bit of chapter 4. So I'm going to back up to verse 1 in chapter 4. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand in the Lord, beloved." Obviously, Paul really loves this church. He cares for these people. "I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." And so what he's talking about there is for them to be in unity. "And I urge you also, true companion," we don't know who that is, "these women," that is Euodia and Syntyche, "help these women who labor with me in the gospel and with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written, or whose names are in the book of life." Verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice." Now, that's where we left off last week. And so you read verse 4 and you're like, okay, rejoice in the Lord always, which is a good thing. Again, I say rejoice. Well, why specifically? Well, because he mentions at the end of verse 3, he says, "For my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." See, if your name is in the book of life, that means you are saved. That means you're going to go to heaven. That means you're not going to face judgment when you die. But your name has to be written in that book. Well, how do you have your name written in that book? You open your heart by faith and you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's how you get in this book. You can't pay your way. You can't belong to a certain church and get in there. You have to, by faith, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you on the cross of Calvary. So what that looks like is you confess, "Lord, I am a sinner. Jesus, I know you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, please forgive me and become the Lord of my life from this day forward." It's that simple. But it's the only way your name is written in the book of life. Because if it's not, and we won't turn there this morning, but in Revelation chapter 20, there's this thing called the Great White Throne Judgment, where God judges all those people who died in their sin. And the first thing that he does is he looks to see if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it isn't, which is what this Book of Life he's talking about here, they're going to go into hell for eternity. But if their name is written, and obviously they won't be at this judgment if it's written there. So the only way that your name can get in this book of life is to put your faith in Christ. I don't know how more clear I can say it this morning. Now, so that's why he's saying rejoice always in the Lord, because you should rejoice. If you are saved, you should rejoice that you're saved. You should rejoice. It's a good thing. God interrupted your life. Wherever your background is, it doesn't matter. Whatever your story is, God interrupted your life and you gave your life to him. And now you're saved. Now you've been adopted in the family of God. And so now we pick up here in verse 5. He says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men." Now, gentleness could be translated graciousness, forbearance. I read somewhere in a commentary that they said sweet reasonableness. So let your graciousness be known to all men. All men. Who does that mean? Everybody. It means believers. It means non-believers. It means family. It means co-workers. Let your graciousness be known to all men. Now, I know for me, I try to be gracious to people. Even when they're not gracious to me, I try to be gracious to them. Because being gracious to somebody is what? Is it showing them what the character of Jesus Christ? See, as Christians, we're to reflect Jesus Christ to others. And listen, he says here in the second part of verse 5, "The Lord is at hand," that is, he is near. So you could take it two ways. The Lord is near there then, or the Lord's return for his church is near. Either way, it should change your behavior. Either way, in light of the fact that the Lord is at hand, you should be gracious, gentle to others. Remember when we went through the book of Philippians a few months ago? Book of Galatians. Yeah, we're in Philippians, duh. Sorry, bad pastor. Galatians a few months ago. And we were in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul talked all about the Holy Spirit. He talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is Christ-likeness. And he lists these attributes. He lists love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit, and that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. He is near now. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So Paul is telling them, look, be anxious for nothing. That word for anxious means to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. That word they use comes from a root word that means to be drawn in different directions. You could literally translate this, do not be torn apart. Now, has anybody ever experienced anxiety in their life? Can I tell you that anxiety, in the last few years especially, has become one of the number one issues that people deal with? Anxiety. Anxious thoughts. Your trouble with the cares of life. I'm going to read something to you guys. Anxiety, the state of mind wherein one is concerned about something or someone. This state of mind may range from genuine concern to obsessions that originate from a distorted perspective of life. We'll talk more about that later. Jesus did not prohibit genuine concern about food or shelter, but he did teach that we should keep things in their proper perspective. We should make God's kingdom our first priority. Everything else will fall in line after we do that. Another definition of anxiety, a disturbed state of mind produced by real or imaginary fears. Anxiety. Worry. It's a huge problem. One of the reasons it's become a huge problem is because of this right here. I can tell you one of the leading things that leads people to have anxiety is when you go on social media, and you look at someone else's life, and you compare yourself with that life. You'll say, I'll never look that good. I'll never be that wealthy. I'll never be that popular. I'll never have that many friends. And see how that can work? That creates anxiousness. It creates anxiety in your mind. And he says, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. For nothing. Now, those of us who experience anxiety, what's that like? Isn't it like literally being torn apart in different directions? Isn't it tormenting? It's tormenting. See, as believers, what is the antidote to anxiousness? And quite frankly, what's the antidote for anxiousness for everybody? It's the peace of God. See, the peace of God only comes from who? God. It doesn't come from medicine. Look, there is a big push these days for medicine. I remember we were watching a football game, and this was a couple Sundays ago, and it was an anti-anxiety medicine, but it could cause suicidal thoughts, was one of the side effects. So I laughed out loud. I was like, what? But listen, there are so many doctors now who are prescribing anti-anxiety medicine, okay? And by the way, you guys ever hear the term a chemical imbalance in your brain? A few months ago, there was a study that came out that said that's not true. Look, ask somebody who has had problems and who has been given that medicine if they can get off that medicine. It's almost impossible. See, we're drugging ourselves. Or how about this? Not medicine. You're anxious for thoughts, so I'm going to go to the bar and have a couple beers. I'm going to drink alcohol. You guys ever... I remember as a kid, some of you know this story. My mom used to watch the soap operas, right? And I'd be in the room doing whatever, something else, and she'd be watching these soap operas. And one of the things I noticed about these soap operas was the guy would come home from work, have a rough day, and he'd walk over, he'd pour himself some alcohol, and stand there and look into the camera. What's wrong, Lance? I had a bad day. It was rough. And he would drink his alcohol to numb himself, to deal with his anxious thoughts to what happened. Some people nowadays, they use marijuana. They smoke marijuana. Some people will use relationships. They'll get involved with somebody because it's going to ease their anxiety. Because see, if I have a girlfriend, if I have a boyfriend, that'll take care of all my problems. I've been there, trust me. I mean, not now, obviously. But years ago, before I was married to my wife, I dated this girl, and I thought that she was my world. She actually became an idol to me. And then when things fell apart, when she kicked me to the curb, I was going to kill myself over this girl. That's how dramatic anxiety can be. And even today, guys, you know what people do now? Especially young men who are older, they go play video games for hours. They check out. Like, look around you. I know things are not going in a direction that most of us want it to go. I know there's trouble, there's chaos, there's craziness all around us. I understand all that. But Paul's saying here, look, be anxious. This is what Paul's saying. This is what God is saying. I'm not saying this, so don't be mad at me. God is saying this. God is saying, be anxious for nothing. For nothing. For relationships in our lives. Maybe there's somebody that you're dealing with right now who is really hard to deal with. How about this? Maybe you're dealing with somebody who's hard to deal with and they claim to be a Christian like you. Then what do you do? Well, here's the thing. Paul gives you the anecdote. He says this, but in everything. And by the way, in the Greek, everything means everything. It means everything. In everything, listen, by prayer, that's talking to God, and supplication. Supplication simply means it's a personal request that you make to God. It's personal prayer. It's what you need. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, here's the antidote for anxiety. You pray. You tell him your problems, and then you thank him that he has a plan. See, here's the thing. Whatever the problem is, it is an opportunity for God to work. You ever look at it like that? Now, I'm saying here this, and I'm saying this to you. I'm as much preaching to myself this morning as I am to you, because this is funny. So this morning, from this whole week, getting to this Sunday, getting to this luncheon, I've had every opportunity to follow this. I've had every opportunity. Even this morning, I've had every opportunity to trust God. I've had it. So I'm not standing here telling you I've got this mastered. Because I don't. Ask my family. Don't ask my family, no. Until I pay them. Just kidding. But listen, that is the antidote. It's prayer. It's talking to God. See, we will do everything else first before we pray. You know, there's nothing else I can do about this situation, so now I'm going to pray. No, no, no. It's not a last resort. It's a first resort, especially as believers in Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, God, this is what's going on right now. This is what's going on, Lord. And here's the thing. He already knows. If I believe what the Bible teaches, that God sees everything, that he knows everything, he knows the very hairs on your head, if I believe what it says, then why in the world would I not go to him? If he's your heavenly Father and he loves you and he wants what's best for you, and that's the truth, that's what the Bible teaches, that's what God, who God is. It says that God is love. If that is true, then why don't we go to him? Why do we think we can do this on our own strength? Why do we think if we drink that alcohol, it's going to make it better? It's not, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to drink that alcohol, and for maybe a few hours, you'll forget, but then you'll remember. In fact, drinking alcohol, you could drink so much that you throw up or get a hangover. Listen, one of the things I struggle with is migraine headaches. And I can tell you right now, most of the migraine headaches I get these days are because of stress in my life. And why do I have stress? Well, I have stress because I've got a lot of things going on. But in saying that, what should I do? This week was really hard for me with my job, my regular job. I had a lot to work to do. I worked a lot of long hours. And what do most people do when that happens? Well, you go into the office and you complain to your coworkers. Yeah, this stinks. Quest management, they're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. Blah, blah, blah. All those things. When in reality, what should I be doing? I should be trusting God. I should be going to him and saying, Lord, help me. Help me to be able to get all this done. And Lord, if I don't get it done, help me to be okay with it. You see what I'm trying to say here? See, prayer is the easiest thing, but it is the hardest thing. How many people can relate? And how many people, when they go to pray, hey, the phone rings. Or somebody texts me. I'm ready to throw my phone out the window sometimes. Because I just want to pray. I just want to have some peace and quiet for a moment to pray. And maybe you need to do that. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Here's the thing, guys. I can't make you do this. I can't. I can tell you what God's word says. It is on you whether you do this or not. See, it's easy to sit back and to blame God, to say, God, all these problems in my life are your fault. It's easy to blame other people. But in reality, really, if we want to be honest with ourselves, if we're really being honest, it's our fault. Because we don't do what God has told us to do. I don't know how clear I can say it. And listen, if you're mad at me, don't get mad at me. It's God, man. God's saying in his word. That's what he's saying this morning to all of us. And so what does that mean? Does that mean then that you do it one time and then it's over? No. Sometimes you got to do it three times in a minute. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. And see, people misunderstand what that means. They think that means that you pray on your knees the whole entire day. That's not what pray without ceasing means. Pray without ceasing means you're constantly in prayer throughout the day. Sometimes what happens is if you have a situation in your life, you fast. And when your stomach goes, rah, it reminds you, I need to pray that situation. But see, what is prayer ultimately? Prayer is talking to God. See, God knows everything about you. All the things you think you're trying to hide from him, he sees it. He sees it. He knows everything. So then my point is, why don't you just talk to him? Just talk to him. Look, it doesn't have to be this flowery thing. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord of Israel, whatever. God help me. That's a sincere prayer. We'll talk about that in a moment. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a field trip through the scripture. Now listen, if you can't keep up, that's okay. Just sit back and listen. If you want these references, ask me after service, I'll give them to you. So let's turn first to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Sorry, you Wednesday nighters. We went over this on Wednesday, but we're going to do it again. Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Left-hand turn. Psalm 13. By the way, the Psalms have all kinds of, I could stand here and talk to you the rest of this morning, the rest of this day about this subject matter, because the Psalms is a great book to go through, because the Psalm speaks to anxiety, to depression, to all kinds of things that we go through as human beings. And that's one of the reasons why we're doing it on Wednesday nights. So shameless plug there. All right. Okay, tell you what. I lied. Back up to Psalm 12. I love this. We covered this on Wednesday. First word in my Bible says, help, Lord. It says, help, Lord. That's an honest prayer. Help, Lord. That word for help means to save, to deliver, to rescue. Help, Lord. That's an honest prayer before God. This is the prayer of David. It's a psalm of David. David is saying, help, Lord. Now, move to Psalm 13. Tell me if you can relate to this, guys. He says in verse 1, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? How long, O Lord, shall I take counsel in my soul? In other words, how long will I try to find answers on my own? How long will I try to figure things out, is what he's saying here. And having sorrow in my heart daily, how long will the enemy be exalted over me? Anyone's ever been there? Everyone ever go through something and this is how what you're saying? This is what you're thinking? I'm the only one? Great. Okay. Okay, thank you. Verse 3. Consider, in other words, look upon and hear me, answer me, O Lord my God, enlighten my eyes, open my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. In other words, Lord, if you don't move, I'm done. I'm done. I need you. That's what he's saying to God right now. But then I want you to look at verses 5 and 6. But then he says this, but I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt with me bountifully with me. See, I have trusted. That's the key. I have trusted God. See, there is no visible in this psalm. It talks about that God does not answer David's problem. It doesn't say that. So even before God answers his problem, what does he say? I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I may see certain things with my physical eyes, but you know what, God? I trust you. I trust you. You've been faithful to me all of the days of my life. You have been faithful to me. I know you're going to come through. You're never going to be late. You're never going to be early, but you're going to be right on time when I need you. That's what's going to happen. And sometimes, guys, that means he doesn't answer it the way we want him to answer it. I look back in my life, and if God would have answered all the prayers that I had, oh my goodness. God knows, look, he's a loving father. He knows what's best for you. He's going to take care of you. You have to trust him. I remember when I was a kid, one of the safest places, and this is going to sound really strange maybe, one of the safest places I felt was driving the car with my dad. I just remember, I just felt this security and safety. I didn't think about, like, is dad going to actually go to work and make enough money for food? I didn't think about that stuff. I was a kid. I was just playing with my toys and stuff, playing with my dog, playing with my sisters. Well, not always with my sisters, but, like, there was a trust there. That relationship is a picture of the relationship we're to have with God the Father. We're to trust him. Now, another place I want us to turn, guys. Turn to Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse 19. Psalm 94. One verse. Listen to what it says. The psalmist says this. He says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me. In other words, hey, I'm dealing with this. Listen to what he says. Your comforts delight my soul. Whose comforts? God's comforts. God is the only one who can comfort a human soul. God is the only one. You can't comfort it, your own soul on your own. God is the only one that can comfort it. Another place I want us to turn is Proverbs chapter 3. And if you've been a Christian, or you're a seasoned saint, you probably heard this verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. He says this, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. When he says all your heart, he means all of your heart. Not 80%, not 20%, not 50%, 100% of your heart. You trust with all your heart in God, and lean not on your own understanding. See, that's a problem we have. See, the reason we have anxiety is we try to figure things out with our own mind. You're never going to figure them out. Never. Personal story. My oldest sister died in 2014 of breast cancer. I don't understand why. Her oldest son, my nephew, and his wife just had a baby girl. And I watched my nephew with this baby girl. And I think, man, my sister will be so proud of him. I don't understand. I don't. But I know that she was a believer. And I know she's waiting for me. So I trust God. I'm trusting him. I don't understand, Lord. I'm seeing with my physical eyes. I don't understand. But you know what? I trust you. I trust you. So again, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. It says he shall direct your paths. He's going to direct your life if you give him your life. He will do it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Not fear the Lord like, oh my goodness, it's God. Have a reverence and respect for God. And depart from evil. Now, another place I want us to turn, guys. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Listen, verse 25 of Proverbs 12, it says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Where does depression come from? Anxiety. But notice what it says, but a good word makes it glad. See, what is the good word? It is the scripture. But here's another way to look at it. As believers in Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters, a good word, we encourage one another. That's a good word, to encourage one another. Guys, sometimes just saying hello to somebody or good morning, acknowledging that they exist can make a huge difference. Trust me. Trust me. You guys ever go to a church and you go in and nobody acknowledges that you're there? How does it make you feel? Alone. Kind of makes you depressed or discouraged. See, one of the things here about our church here is I hope that you never feel that way here, guys. And listen, I know it's not people's intention. Trust me, I know that. But understand, it makes a huge difference. I've been to large churches. I've been a part of smaller churches. And it's happened in both places, believe it or not. One time we were going to a smaller church and the elder completely ignored me when I said good morning to him. And I was a relatively new believer. You know what that did for me? That really discouraged me. So a good word makes it glad. Now, Another place, two more places, I promise. Matthew chapter 6. And this should be very familiar with us. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be verse 25. Matthew 26. And listen, I'm hitting all these verses to prove to you what God says to you in His Word. Now, Matthew 26, verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "Therefore I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them." You guys ever trying to sleep in, and you hear a bird whistling, and they're singing away, okay? Sorry, I don't know how to whistle like a bird, sorry. And it like wakes you up and you're like, come on. But the bird is joyous. The bird's not, where am I gonna get my next worm? What's gonna happen on Christmas Eve when we meet with our family? Is that what the bird's doing? No, the bird's singing. Why? Because he has no worry. End of verse 26. "Are you not of more value than they?" See, if God takes care of that bird, don't you think He's going to take care of you? Do you believe that? It's easy to say that. It's easy to say that I have faith and trust Him, but then when He puts it to the test, oh, that's when it gets really hard and really real. Verse 27. "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature?" Listen, I'm no taller than I used to be. I'm still 5'11", close to six foot. So I've worried before in my life, and I haven't grown any taller. I mean, if that was true, if I could add height to my height because of worry, then I should be in the NBA right now, slam dunking the basketball. Maybe you could too. Verse 28. "So why do you worry about clothing?" He's asking them. "Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, King Solomon, in all of his glory was not arrayed or dressed like one of these." And according to tradition, Solomon used to be dressed in really nice robes that looked really nice. Verse 30, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Don't miss this. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows what you need, not what you want. I want a Tacoma truck. I haven't gotten one yet. I don't think I ever will get one. And that's okay. That's why I keep bringing it up in sermons. It's okay. He already knows. Think about that. He already knows what you need. Even before you ask Him, He already knows. It doesn't mean He's going to give you everything you want. He's going to give you everything you need. See, that's where thanksgiving comes in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that I have this house that I can live in. Thank you, Lord, that I have clothes on my body. Thank you, Lord, that I have food on my table. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." All these things will be added to you. He will take care of it. But you got to seek Him first. You don't take care of these things with a credit card. You take care of these things by seeking first. Listen, guys, I made so many mistakes in my life when I just could have waited on the Lord and He would have provided. Instead, I used the plastic to take care of it. I've made so many, and I'm still paying for some of these mistakes. So I know what it's like. But if you just wait, if you just trust God, He will come through. He always does. I can look back at my life and God has never not been faithful. He's never let me down. I've let Him down, but He's never not been faithful. Never. And I've allowed anxiety in my life. I've allowed times where I should have made decisions. I've allowed, because I was afraid my wife was going to be upset at me because we had to do something that was difficult. And I let the fear of her let me make decisions now that we're still paying for, instead of trusting God. It's not my wife's fault. My fault. Verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things." Don't project. My goodness, don't project about tomorrow. worry about today. Lord, just get me through today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and that's okay because you're in control. Just get me through today. That's what he's saying. Don't try to project what the future holds. We don't know. We don't know. I mean, we know, yes, a general picture, sure. God wins. That's what happens, okay? There you go. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, one more place. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, all the way to the right-hand turn to the end of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 6, he says this, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Listen to what he says here in verse 7. Casting upon him for he cares for you. Casting all your care upon him. That word for care literally can be translated anxiety. So this is what he's saying to you. He's saying, humble yourself before him, casting all your care upon him for he cares for you. Here's the thing. Casting reminds me of fishing. You guys ever go fishing? Why do you go fishing? Well, you go fishing to catch a fish. And so when you stand on the shore or sit in the boat, you get your bait and you throw it in there. Because what? You believe that if you throw that bait in there, what are you going to do? You're going to catch a fish, right? So you have faith that if you throw that bait in there, you're going to catch a fish. So here's the thing. If our anxieties, our cares of life are choking us out, what do? We cast them upon God. Because we believe why? He's going to take care of it, right? Do we believe it? That's what he's saying. This Christian life is not that complicated. It really isn't. But we make it complicated. We think it can't be that simple. And usually it is. Usually what I do is this simple or is it complicated? I'm going with the simple. Now back to Philippians chapter 4. Back to Philippians 4. So again, Paul's telling them, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request be known to him. And I have written in my Bible, you need to speak to him. You got to talk to him, okay? You got to talk to him. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the peace of God, let me read something to you about this, guys. Peace, a word with several different meanings in the Old and New Testaments. The Old Testament meaning of peace was completeness, soundness, well-being of total person. The peace was considered God-given, obtained by following the law. Peace sometimes had a physical meaning suggesting security, contentment, prosperity, and the absence of war. Traditional Jewish greeting is shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. So you still today could hear somebody Jewish say shalom, which means peace, okay? And was a wish for peace. So they would say that peace to you, meaning a wish for peace for you and your family. In the New Testament, peace often refers to the inner tranquility and poise of the Christian who, listen, trusts in God through Christ. This understanding was originally expressed in the Old Testament writings about the coming Messiah. The peace that Jesus Christ spoke of was a combination of hope, trust, and quiet in mind and soul brought about by a reconciliation with God. Such peace was proclaimed by the host of angels at Christ's birth and by Christ himself on the Sermon on the Mount and during his ministry. He also taught, listen, and this is the peace he's talking about specifically this morning. He also taught about this kind of peace at the Lord's Supper shortly before his death. The Apostle Paul later wrote that such peace and spiritual blessedness was a direct result of faith in Christ. See, you can have peace with God. Peace with God means that you're okay with God. The Bible talks about that if you don't have peace with God, that means you're in enmity. You're enemies with God. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. The peace that Paul is talking about is the peace of God that he gives you. Once you put your faith in Christ, once you're dealing with anxious thoughts and you pray to him, he's going to give you a peace. And this peace is going to surpass, go above our human understanding. Many years ago, my wife and I had to have a meeting with somebody. And we sat in his office. And it was a tough meeting. And this person sat there basically for a half hour and basically trashed my wife and I. Trashed us. Trashed my character. And just as I was about to say something in response, the Holy Spirit said, no. So I sat there and I listened. I said nothing in response. And so we leave and we're walking in the parking lot. And my wife goes, I can't believe this. I can't believe he just did this. He just said this about you and me. What? I can't. Hey, what's wrong with you? I got peace. I have peace. God's given me this peace. Because first of all, just confirm that what we were doing is the right thing. praise God, and I have this peace that God gave me. I don't understand. I can't explain it, but I have a peace. You ever have that experience in your life? As a believer, something is happening and you have this peace. You don't know where it came from. Well, you know, I can tell you where it came from. It came from God. That's the peace he's talking to us about. He's promising. See, here's the thing. If we pray with supplication and prayer, we make our request made known to God, he will give us a peace. He will give us a peace. That's a bonus. He will give us a peace. And listen, this peace will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And look, all trouble starts either in our hearts or our minds, does it not? And when they're not in sync, it's bad. See, that's what happens when you sit in a church and you hear the gospel and your mind says, eh, and your heart's like, please, please open me to Jesus. And your mind says, nah, I'm not going to believe this guy. I'm not going to believe this stuff. When it's out of sync, your life's out of sync. But it says guard. Now, this word for guard is interesting, guys. It's a military term. It means to keep by guarding, to keep under guard. See, they would have understood this because a Roman garrison would have been stationed in Philippi. Remember, we talked about this last week and when we started the book. Philippi was a Rome away from Rome. It was considered a Roman colony. So all of the laws, all of the traditions that pertain to Rome itself pertain to Philippi. So they would understand that. So see, here's the thing. If you do these things, the peace of God is going to be a garrison around your mind and around your heart. But it comes from God, and it starts with us in prayer. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, a couple places I want us to turn, guys, in the Bible, considering the peace of God. First place I want us to turn is Psalm 4. Only a few verses. Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 4. Now, Psalm 4 is a psalm of David. Now, the likely background of this psalm is that David was fleeing from his son Absalom. Absalom had taken over the kingdom, and David was fleeing from him because he was afraid, he was scared, he was in fear. But Psalm 4, verse 8 says this. This is what David says. Before all this, he talks about what's going on in his life, similar to what we talked about in Psalm 13. And this is what he says at the end. He says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For listen, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So where does David's peace come from? It comes from God. It comes from his relationship with God Almighty. Now, another place I want us to turn is Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Who's the you there? That's God. And then it says, listen, because why? It says, because he trusts you. Is it easy always to trust God? The answer is no. If I'm being honest, the answer is no. So in those moments, I say, okay, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But God, help me to trust you. Increase my faith. Be honest before him, because if you ask him that, he will. He will. You need to trust God. One more place, guys. John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, we'll be at verse 27. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking, and he simply says this to them, to his disciples. This context is they had the upper room, they had the Last Supper, they're headed towards the Garden of Gethsemane before he's about to be arrested. And in John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, well, specifically John chapter 16, he is sharing with them the last things he wants them to know before he's about to be arrested and then tried and crucified. And he says this in verse 27 of chapter 14. Peace I leave you with. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Because see, the world can't give you peace. The world cannot give you peace. You want to know what the answer to world peace is? It's Jesus Christ. That's what it is. See, the world's going to tell you, you want peace? Come see me and I'll give you this pill and it's going to give you peace. Or, hey, I'm down and out. I'm really stressed out, so let me drink some alcohol. Hey, I know what to do, man. I'm going to get a medical marijuana card and go to the restore place and I'm going to smoke some weed so then I don't remember anything anymore. And I know what weed can do to you because I used to smoke weed before I was a Christian. Just preface that, not now, but back in the day before Christ, I used to do that in high school. And it's a shame because I have a schoolmate who basically did that his entire high school life, and you talk to him, he sounds like he's out of, in outer space somewhere. But he tried to seek the peace through that. See, as Christians, we have a peace that only can come from God. So ask him for it. So peace I leave you with, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. By the way, who is going to give you the message of the world's peace? It is social media. When you go on social media, they're going to tell you what you need to do to find peace. Here's the thing. Why do you think there's a rise in transgenderism right now with kids? Because listen, every person here, when you grew up, when you had those teenage years, man, you experienced all kinds of things. You didn't know what, you didn't know your body's changing, all this stuff. I don't mean to sound weird, okay? But all those things, see, back in the day, it used to be when you were in high school, what you would do is you would see a kid come in and be dressed all in black, like he being goth. When I was in high school, that was the thing they did. But see, now what it is if you don't know where you belong, you're not sure about things, you don't have peace in your life. So what it is, well, it's because really you're really gay. You're really a homosexual. That's really what the world tells you. That's the world's peace. That's the world's idea of peace. Or here even better now, they take it a step further. The reason you, young man, feel the way you do is because you're really a girl trapped in a man's body. That's why this is happening. Because they're looking for the wrong place to find their peace. The peace they can only find is in Jesus Christ. That's what's happening. Look around you. There's all kinds of crazy things happening. But here's the point of all saying that. We know where we can find our peace, and where can we find it? In God. Simply in God. That's it. There is no other place. If you know of other place and it works for you, let me know after the service because I want to hear this. I know my own life. I've tried other things to bring peace to my life, and it never brings the peace that God gives me. Never. Never. And listen, I can't make you do this. I can't. I can get passionate about this. I can talk to you about these things, but I can't make you do this. This is on you. You have to do this. You have to seek the Lord. You have to pray. It's up to you to do that. God's waiting for you. He wants you to do that. I used to love when my kids were little because they would come to me and ask me questions and talk to me as their father. I'm their heavenly father. I mean, I'm not, what am I saying? Wait. I'm not their heavenly father. Sorry. Wait. Stricken that for the record. I'm not the heavenly father. Okay. Wow. All right. That's what happens when you get so passionate about something and you say, okay, so I misspoke. I am not the heavenly father. But as an example, as a relationship with the heavenly father, I'm their father. And sometimes I even knew what they were going through or what they needed, but I still wanted them to come to me and ask. Why? Because I want a relationship with them. I want a relationship. I want to bless them. I wanted to. And what's even cool sometimes is they would ask me for stuff and they would think I wouldn't remember. And then I would bring it to them and be a blessing to them. That's what God wants to do with us. He goes on to say in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Man, fear has gripped the hearts of so many people these days. But God can give you that peace. Now back to Philippians. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, that's everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, in other words, you may not even understand how you have this peace, but it comes from God, will guard your hearts, will be a garrison around your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. So then he says this finally in conclusion, brethren, whatever things are true, And when he says that, whatever things are true, he says, true means not false or unreliable, but genuine and real. He says, whatever things are noble. The idea there is he means honorable or morally attractive. And then he says, whatever things are just. The idea there is just means righteousness both toward God and man. Whatever things are lovely. Lovely has the idea of what, of that which is admirable or agreeable to behold or consider. And then he says, whatever things are of good report. Good report has also been translated of good repute or fair sounding. And then, of course, he says, if there is any virtue, and virtue has the idea of moral excellence. And then he ends it and says, anything praiseworthy, literally anything worthy of to be praised. And then what he says this little word here at the end. He says, meditate, which simply means think about it. Think about it. We are to think on things that are true, that are noble, that are of good report. We're to think on those things. So let me ask you a question. You guys ever have this experience where you listen to music and the music you listen to fills your mind full of thoughts? You ever have that? I remember when I was in high school, before I had a girlfriend, I would listen to all these, it seems like everybody writes a love song. Everybody wants love, right? Everybody wants to find love. And I remember thinking these songs, and I would actually get depressed because I would hear these songs from these guys that would write these love songs, and I didn't have what they were talking about in the song. So it made me think in a certain way. See, music is very powerful. That's why we praise and worship the Lord. The focus should be on who? The Lord. To get you thinking about how faithful God is, to get you thinking about how wonderful He is, how much He loves you. That's why we praise and worship Him. Or how about this? You watch a TV show and it's terrible. It fills your mind full of garbage. Let me ask you a question. If it fills your mind full of garbage, most likely what can happen to your mind? Your mind can scatter. Your mind can wander. Your mind can have anxious thoughts. Like, listen, my wife, I know that she cannot watch certain television shows because what happens is it troubles her before she goes to sleep. That's what can happen. See, what are you thinking about? What are you putting in your eye gate? What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you listening to? It has an effect. Yeah, ultimately, it doesn't make you do what you do. You ultimately do that. But it has an effect. Video games. What video games are you playing? Are you playing too many video games? It's going to affect the way you think. It is. It did for me. When I was younger and I did those things, man, it affected me. And it's a distraction. See, that's one of the things about being anxious. Anxiousness is a distraction for you and your mind. See, we're to think on good things. What's something you can think on? God's Word. That's why you should memorize God's Word. All those verses I shared with you this morning, memorize them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not only on your understanding. And then you use it when anxious thoughts come in. Use that. Pray that. Now, meditate. Think about it. Lastly, we'll end here. Verse 9. He says this. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you understand what Paul is saying to him or saying to them right now? He's saying, when I was with you, the things I taught you, but here's the thing, the way I lived before you, what I modeled, my example, I want you to follow that. I want you to follow that. And listen, I read that again this morning, and I was thinking about it, meditating upon it, and it convicted me, and I'll tell you why it convicted me. I have a family. I have a wife and two sons, and I'm supposed to be a godly example to them, right? And I say, okay. If I'm honest before you, God, I haven't always handled things good. I haven't always prayed to you when I had anxious thoughts. I've allowed my emotions and things to get the best of me and say things and do things, and I've allowed it to affect my kids because they've watched how I behaved. Now, does that mean I'm perfect? That means you have to be perfect? That's not what I'm saying to you. That's not what I'm saying. But ultimately, our goal as believers in Jesus Christ, whether you have kids or not, should be to live this life, a Christian life, to have no, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? I'm not standing here telling you this is the easiest thing. It's not. It's the hardest thing you're going to do. It's the hardest thing. Anything that's worth it's hard. You ever notice that? Marriage. Marriage can be hard, but it's worth it. Anything hard is worth it. And that's the point. See, it's easy to say you follow Christ, but then when he gives you the opportunity to follow him, do you? It's easy to say, I walk by faith, but when he tests your faith, do you pass the test? It's easy to say that. Okay, so then what do? You pray. You pray, you talk to God. You tell him your troubles. You tell him your failures. He knows already. You tell him. You ask him to help you. You ask him to give you the strength. You ask him to give you his Holy Spirit. He promises all those things to you. Ask him to give him the peace that you need. Hey, Lord, this person I know does not like me. I'm about to see them. What do I do, Lord? Lord, give me your peace. Help me. Help me to love them, Lord. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, that should be our prayer, guys. I want people to see Jesus Christ in me. My heart's desire for you as your pastor is that people see Jesus Christ in every single one of you too. That's my desire. Because if that's not my desire, then I don't know what I'm doing. We're going to stop there this morning. Listen, you may be sitting here this morning saying, that's great what you just said. That's great what God's saying. But you know what? You don't know my life. You don't know the things I've been through. You're right, I don't. God does. You're right. I don't know what your life has been like. I have no idea, but God does. God loves you. So if you don't know Christ this morning, my recommendation to you, my strong recommendation and my passionate advice to you is get to know who Christ is. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Start a personal relationship with him. That's why it's called a personal relationship, because it's between you and him. So all you simply have to do is acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, that Christ died for your sins, and then ask him to be the Lord, ask him to forgive you, and ask him to be the Lord of your life. It's that simple. Now, for the rest of us who already know Christ, maybe you've been having a bad season. Maybe since the pandemic, because of all the things going on, you have no peace. You have a lot of fear. You're afraid. You're all those things. What does the Bible say this morning? What does the text say? What does Paul say to us? Pray. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to help you, to give him the peace that he promised, because he promised it. But see, the point is you have to ask. He wants that relationship with you. You have to ask. I can't make you do this. I can't. You have to want to do this. And I strongly suggest to you, may I urge you, I beg you as your pastor to please seek God. Please ask him for the peace and he will give it to you. I promise you. And listen, I'm going to give a little preface. You might have to keep asking for peace. Because it's not a one-time thing. See, we in America love to have the one-time thing. I want one pill that's going to fix everything. I want one fix and that's it. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. So if you're struggling with different things in your life, you need to ask God to help you. You need to ask God for the peace that only he can give. And can I tell you, I will testify to this. I sound like a Pentecostal preacher. I will testify to this to you. God has been faithful to me in my life. God has given me a peace when I can't explain. God has always been there for me. He's never let me down. Never. Not once. I've let him down plenty of times and I've made dumb mistakes, but can I tell you, God has always been faithful. God is real and he's true. I can't explain or I can't communicate it even clearer than I can to you right now. Jesus Christ is real. He's really risen and he has died for you and he will give you peace if you ask him. It's that simple. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of your scripture. Thank you that you are faithful, God. And Father, again, I pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you, who has not put their faith and trust in you. Again, Lord, I pray that they would not be afraid and they would simply surrender to you, that they would acknowledge, Jesus, you, that they're a sinner and that you died for them, and that they would ask you to forgive them, Jesus, of their sins, and ask them, they would ask you, Lord, to be the Lord of their life. It's that simple. Lord, you said in your word today that you are at hand, that you are near. It means you're coming back at any moment. Will we get right with you? And I pray for anyone here this morning, Lord, who is struggling right now, who is afraid, who is scared, who has anxiety, who is depressed. God, you know. God, you know what they're thinking. You know the turmoil that's in their physical body right now because of anxiety. But Lord, you give us an answer. That's to cry out to you. To cry out to you. Because you will give us peace that passes our understanding. I pray that we would do that, Lord. I pray that we would not be too proud. I pray that we wouldn't think we could do this on our own, but that, Lord, we could trust you and that we could put our faith in you and that we could ask you for peace and you will give it to us. God, you promised. You promised peace that you will give us if we seek first the kingdom of God. If we put you first in our lives, you promise us a peace, and the peace that you give us, Lord, is not like this world. It is a peace that truly gives us rest. God, we thank you. God, we thank you, and we praise you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.